We're turning back to the opening part of the book of Ruth again. We'll just bow together in prayer with God's word open before us. Our Father, we do just stop and ask Thee for Thy help and blessing upon the word of God. We thank Thee we have read it, and as we come to consider the truth of God and what is illustrated to us here in the lives of these individuals, we pray, Lord, that the spiritual lessons would not be lost in us, but that we would glean today. We read of Ruth gleaning in those fields of Boaz. We pray that we might glean in the Word of God today, and that we will find that which will nourish our souls. O Lord, we pray that we might know Thee speaking today with that still small voice that speaks to our hearts, and lead us on with Thee. And we pray Thy blessing on us now. Give help in the preaching, I ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been highlighting that there's two prominent themes here that run through the whole book of Ruth, and that is the great truth of restoration and also the truth of redemption. Naomi, as we'll come very much to see this morning, is restored, brought back to Bethlehem, Judah, brought back in among the people of God, into fellowship with them. And then also there's the great theme of redemption that runs through the book of Ruth as well, because of Ruth herself, who was a Moabitish damsel, and yet she's one who comes to be numbered among the people of God. And as we know, ultimately, she marries into the royal line of Judah, and she's an ancestor according to the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's also, I think, a prophetic significance to the book of Ruth, although we're not going to pursue that today, but there is a prophetic significance, because when you think about Naomi being restored, and then also Ruth the Gentile being brought in, there is a reference, a foreshadowing of what will yet happen when Jew and Gentile will both seek the Lord, when you have some of those great promises that are found in the Word of God as to what the Lord will do, how there's going to be a recovery of the Jew. And Romans chapters 9, 10 and 11 explain that. As to how or when that happens, we may differ, but it certainly teaches there's going to be a restoration of the Jew. And what they are now doing in unbelief, they're going to be made to turn again and seek the Lord. Well, that's illustrated in Naomi. And then when you think about the Gentiles being gathered in, Ruth was just the first fruit. She was the foreshadowings of what the Lord was going to do among the Gentiles, that there would be a great company brought out of the Gentiles. There would be a great harvest from among the Gentile nations. So in that sense, the book of Ruth is significant as well. But what we want to come to think about this morning is Naomi's return to the land of Israel. We thought about them taking their leave, Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons take their leave of Bethlehem, the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means, the name means house of bread. And they leave this place of blessing and they make their way down into the land of Moab. And it wasn't, as we've been pointing out, it wasn't because they'd fallen into poverty. It wasn't that because there was no means that they could avail of to keep themselves alive, because, as we know, there's the kinsman redeemer that is mentioned here in the book of Ruth. And he was existing there at that time before they left, never mind existing when they come back, and the references to Boaz that is mentioned are found here in the book of Ruth. And the Lord, as we mentioned the last time, the Lord also had instigated the means whereby the poor in Israel would be looked after. There was the means where, and we see here Ruth availing of it. We read that there in chapter 2, how she went out into the fields and she gleaned. And that was the right of all the poor in Israel at harvest time. They could go out into the fields and they could glean. Now, they couldn't take out a sickle and cut down a sheaf, but they could pick up anything that had been cut down and was not lifted, or any grain that had fallen on the ground and was not lifted. It was not to be lifted. If there were sheaves that had fallen out when they were bound up and stacked, or if there was grain that had fallen off the sheaves, they were not to be lifted. That was the law that the Lord instituted in Israel, that they would be left for the poor, so that when the sheaves were taken out of the field and brought in to be threshed and so on, that the poor could go into those fields and they could glean what was left. The Lord made provision. That was one of the provisions that he had made for the poor. So that was always available to Elimelech and to Naomi. So it was not the fact that they were facing poverty that took them down into the land of Moab. There was another reason. They wanted to get out from under the chastening hand of God, because the famine had come upon the nation. And as we were looking at some weeks ago, the famine was God's chastisement for a people that forgot the Lord and turned away from the Lord. And it was there to remind them of what is happening and to bring before them in a stark fashion that they have indeed forsaken the Lord, and this is why the famine has come. But Elimelech and Naomi do not want to yield to the chastening hand of the Lord, and therefore they leave. And they think that they can somehow circumvent what is taking place, and that they'll go down into Moab, and when all is well in the land of Israel, we'll come back up again. But as we know, it did not work out as they planned. And instead, it took a terrible toll upon that family. And there's only Naomi that is left of the four who originally left Bethlehem and went down into Moab. And we read here in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6 that Naomi resolves to return to Bethlehem, Judah. But again, there's more than just a return to a physical place. Just as we've been highlighting, there's more to leaving Bethlehem and going down into Moab than just the physical. So when we read now there, in, for example, in chapter 1 and verse 6, that she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. There's more than just a physical return. There's more than just a physical return. Because it's very obvious. There was bread in Moab, as we've been pointing out all along. There was plenty in Moab. The famine was striking in the land of Israel. That's where the famine was. There was plenty down in the land of Moab. So it wasn't a matter of just leaving and going back because now there's plenty. The famine is gone in Bethlehem, Judah. There's more to it than that. There's a spiritual dimension here. And that's more important than any physical or material dimension, the fact that they might just be returning because now the famine has gone and there's better times harvest-wise in the land of Israel. There's a spiritual significance. And that's what we want to pick up on and notice in, with regards to this return. So first of all, I want you to consider here the motive that is set out in this opening chapter for Naomi's return. It's given to us there in verse 6 because she has been brought down to her lowest ebb, but here at her very lowest ebb she hears of something. There is news that is conveyed to her that causes her to hope even in the midst of all of these adverse circumstances that has been that have visited her and come upon her. Because there in verse 6, you'll see there halfway through the verse, it says, "For she had heard in the country of Moab." She had heard in the country of Moab. There was news that was conveyed to Naomi, even though she was far away from Bethlehem, Judah, and the land of Israel. Still, there is news that is conveyed to her of what is taking place in the land of Judah. Whatever means, we are not told how that came about, how she did hear, but the Lord had the means whereby she would hear, and it would be the beginnings of her return. She would hear something. And in hearing it, it would stir her heart, and it would even stir her heart to the place where it tells us there at the start of verse 6 that she would rise up with that determination to return to Bethlehem, Judah. But it all starts out because she has heard something. She has heard something that has lifted the gloom that had descended upon her. She has heard what the Lord has done for others. She has heard how the Lord has visited that land again and how the Lord has removed the famine. But whatever the means are, and that's not really important, but the point to notice is that somehow, some way, the Lord overruled providentially that news would reach Naomi down in the land of Moab of what was taking place in Bethlehem. The Lord was following after Naomi, in other words. Even though Naomi had drifted away and had left the land of Israel and had gone down to live among another people entirely, and as we looked at a little time ago as well, they were the enemies of the people of God and had no interest or liking for them. And Naomi's down living among them. But nevertheless, providentially, the Lord sees to it that Naomi hears about what is happening in Bethlehem, Judah. And it is a reminder of that truth that is found elsewhere in the Word of God. And we often say it in those words, that the Lord is married to the backslide, and the Lord has not forgotten Naomi. They may have left Israel, they may have sought to get out from under the chastening hand of the Lord in Israel, but the Lord has not forgotten Naomi. The Lord is not as Elimelech was and as Naomi was. And here, even after these years, the Lord overrules providentially, and there is this news that is brought down to her that's going to stir her heart and waken a desire within her to return to the land of Israel, to return to Bethlehem, Judah. But it is the Lord who has brought that about. And how merciful the Lord is. We were singing there in that psalm this morning, very appropriately, of the mercy of the Lord. Psalm 145. And in verse 9 it says, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Well, that's very true when we come to think about the Lord's dealings with Naomi. The Lord is gracious. He has not forgotten them. He has not turned away from seeing her in all her plight in the land of Moab and the circumstances that she finds herself in. And it is a most bitter experience, as she acknowledges. But the Lord has not forgotten her. And we're thankful for that. The Lord does not forget His people. The Lord does not forget those that are truly His who drift away. And it is, you see, the mark of somebody who is truly a backslider and somebody who has just made a mere profession. The Lord follows after the backslider. The Lord will not let them stay in the land of Moab. The Lord will follow after them. There are those who, as we know, who make false professions. They profess to be the Lord's, and they follow the Lord for a time, and then they go back to their sinful ways and sinful lifestyle. Well, were they truly the Lord's? Well, ultimately only the Lord knows, but this is true. This is sure. The Lord follows after those who are really truly His. He will not leave someone who is truly His child in the world. He will not leave them where they are. He will follow after them. He will speak to them. He will deal with them in their circumstances. And that's what He's doing with Naomi. The Lord is indeed married to the backslider. But also there's here this news that, and how Naomi puts it in these words, that the Lord has visited His people in giving them bread. The Lord has visited them. Now, it's true that's a reference to the famine being removed, and there's no longer a shortage of bread, no longer a shortage of food. But there's more to it than that. Why is the famine being removed? Well, for the opposite reasons of why the famine came in the first place. The famine came because they were departing from the Lord. So what has happened during Naomi's sojourn in the land of Moab is that there's been a turning among the people to the Lord. The people have turned to the Lord. Now, where that fits in the early history of the Judges, we do not know. But we do know that there were turnings to the Lord in the early days of the Judges. And we took some time back when we started out here looking at this, just seeking to pinpoint, at least to some degree, where the story in the book of Ruth fits in the history of Israel. And we came to the conclusion that it's very early in the days of the Judges. But whenever it was that it fits in those early chapters of the book of Judges, there has been a turning to the Lord. And the early chapters of the book of Judges speak about that. Times when they turned to the Lord and forsook their sins, and the Lord blessed them. And that's what evidently has happened in Bethlehem, Judea. That's why the famine has been removed. That's why the Lord has visited His people. He's given them physical food. There's the harvest times have come again. But there's also been a time of a spiritual work. And now the Lord is going to do the spiritual work as well in Naomi's heart. So she's going to go back to a people who have been brought into a right place with the Lord. She's not going to go back in among the people who are still under the chastening hand of the Lord and are still enduring the famine. No, they have been visited by the Lord. Materially, physically, they've been visited by the Lord, and there's harvest times and the famine is gone, but spiritually they've been visited by the Lord, and they've turned to the Lord from their sins and from their waywardness as a people. So therefore, Naomi's going to go back in among the people. The Lord's going to restore her and bring her back, and she's going to be brought back in among the people who are of the same spirit and mind as she is. She's not going to go in among a strange people. That the Lord has done a work in her heart and not in their heart. So the Lord has been working in Israel. And you could think there about the Lord working among a number. The Lord working among a, a large company of individuals. But the Lord has not forgotten Naomi down in Moab. Just one individual here who's drifted away and gone down into the land of Moab. The Lord has not forgotten her. It's just not a matter of the Lord concentrating on the many and thinking about the nation of Israel and those that are in that land, and even those that are around Bethlehem, Judah, if we think particularly here of the location that's very prominent in the history before us. There's a company, there's a large number around that part that the Lord has been evidently working among, and they have been turned back to the Lord. But the Lord has not forgot one individual in Moab. One individual. And how encouraging that is. The Lord doesn't forget one individual. Maybe there's one individual that has drifted away that you're praying for. And maybe sometimes the devil comes along and says, oh, the Lord's more interested in the many. Well, not the case. Yes, the Lord is interested in the many and can work among the many. But the Lord works among one. He has not forgotten one. One individual down in Moab who left Bethlehem, Judah. Isn't it interesting that you read about the Lord following after Naomi, but you never read about the Lord following after the other individual who left Bethlehem that we mentioned? If you go back there to the book of Judges and to those chapters that we were pointing out, the detail, something of the developing departure from God that was taking place in an individual's life, in a family, in a tribe, in a city, and right into the house of God. But chapter 17, verse 7 says, there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. This man was an idolater. This man turned away and forsook the Lord and was involved with others in forsaking the Lord. The Lord, there's no mention of the Lord following after him. But the Lord follows after the backslider. The Lord follows after Naomi and brings her back. Just one individual down in Moab. And therefore we're not to be discouraged when we think maybe of one individual that we're praying for the Lord to restore and to bring back to himself. That somehow they'll get lost in the crowd and that the Lord will focus on the many, and yet that one individual will miss out. Not necessarily so. The Lord is interested in a single individual. That is brought out in more ways than just with regards to a backslider in the Scriptures, even with regards to saving souls. When we think about this one individual that he saves out of Moab, the individual Ruth, but the Lord does that in other times. When you think about the Ethiopian eunuch traveling through the desert, and I've mentioned that before, I think, how the Lord took Philip from Samaria, and he's preaching in Samaria, and there's souls that are being saved in Samaria, and many, it tells us, are believing as he preaches in Samaria. And the Lord comes to Philip and he tells him, away out into the desert, way out into the desert, just to meet with one man and point that one man to Christ, the Ethiopian eunuch. And it illustrates the point again and again, Christian. The Lord is interested in a single soul, one single individual. And whether it's a backslider who's gone away from the Lord, or whether sometimes it's an unsaved person, the Lord is interested in a single individual. And that individual here in this occasion is Naomi. But there's something else here that brings her back. And if you look there at chapter 2, verse 1, and also chapter 3, verse 1, you read about the kinsman redeemer. In chapter 2, verse 1, where we commenced our Bible reading, it says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, we're given that information at the start of chapter 2 to explain and set the context for what happened, what follows on in the rest of this chapter, how Ruth providentially ends up in the field of Boaz. And then, as we know, when you go on into chapter 3, it develops a bit further, because in chapter 3, verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, of whose maidens thou wast? With whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Did Naomi remember the kinsman redeemer? Now, we have been highlighting, he was there before, but it seems they've forgotten him. They've not turned to Boaz in any time of need, because, as we've been pointing out, it wasn't physical need, wasn't material need that took them down out of Bethlehem down to Moab. But now Naomi's thoughts are being turned again to the kinsman redeemer, this individual that is going to function according to how the Lord has ordained in his word. who's going to look after the poor, who's even going to marry Ruth and raise up a seed to her. And Naomi, did she think again about the kinsman redeemer? I wonder how many times did she think about him in Moab? And isn't that the problem when somebody drifts away from the Lord? They lose sight of the kinsman redeemer. They get their eye of the Lord Jesus, for he's the fulfillment of this picture. Somebody gets their eye of the Lord. Somebody forgets the Lord. They get taken up with circumstances, maybe even problems, difficulties, maybe even somehow another Christian has done them a wrong turn or whatever. And they get their eye of the Lord. And they start to drift and they start to turn away from the things of God. And they have missed the kinsman redeemer. They've forgotten him. But if they're ever going to come back, they're going to have to get their eye again on the kinsman redeemer. And that's what we read of here with regards to Naomi. She begins to think about the kinsman redeemer. And there in chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us that, setting the whole context for what follows after. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, she's beginning to speak even more directly about him and telling Ruth about the kinsman redeemer and what he's able to do. Because that statement that she makes there in chapter 3, verse 1, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? That's a reference to her seeking out the kinsman redeemer to do that which God had appointed the kinsman redeemer to do. Naomi has come back to this realization and understanding of this. And isn't that important when there's going to be any return to the Lord? There has to be a renewing of acquaintance with the Lord, with the kinsman redeemer. That's where the drift started. That fellowship being broken with the Lord. And there's not the walking with the Lord and the communion fellowship with Him that there ought to be. And somebody drifts away from the Lord because of that. Oh, they can come to the house of God. They can have religion. They can put on an outward show that everything seems to be well. And yet in their own heart, they've drifted away from the Lord. And there's not the communion and there's not the fellowship with the Savior that there ought to be. Well, if there's ever going to be any return, there has to be a renewing of acquaintance with the Lord. Just the same way as Naomi renews that acquaintance with the kinsman redeemer. So there's the motive that you have here for her return. I want you to think here as well of the manner of it. Because there's two phrases that are important here to pick up on in following on there from chapter 1 and verse 6 that do underscore this point. Because her return to Bethlehem involved a renunciation of Moab. And I want you to notice how it's worded there in verse 6. It says, she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she's going to return from the land of Moab. Now again, physically, that's inevitable. How can you get back to the land of Israel if you don't leave the land of Moab? But there's more to it than this, because there is a renunciation here of Moab. There's renunciation. If you go on into verse 7, it says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. The Lord is emphasizing this here. It's really been repeated twice, because it's stated there in verse 6, she's leaving Moab to go back to the land of Israel. Well, that's natural enough. But then in verse 7, it says that she went forth out of the place where she was. She left where she was. Not only physically, but spiritually she left the place where she was as well. She's turning her back upon the place where she was physically and spiritually. She's turning her back upon Moab. There's going to be a renunciation of Moab. And she's going to arise up and she's going to leave there and forsake that way of life and how she's been living there all those years in Moab that has brought her down into such a bitter experience. And she's going to make her way back to the land of Israel, back to Bethlehem, Judah. So she's going to renounce those years of wandering, those years of drifting, those years of living away from the land of Judah, in the land of Moab, and all that it has brought upon her by way of bitterness. But isn't that like what we read about the prodigal too in Luke 15, where it says that he came to himself and he arose. He said, there's bread enough and to spare in my father's house and I perish with hunger. But he arose and left behind that way of living. He had wasted all that he had, his inheritance that had been given to him by a father. A third of all that father had was given to him. And he'd wasted it in riotous living, and there he is, brought down to penury. And he's feeding swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine would have eaten. He was in such misery. And then it says he came to himself and he arose. Well, we find the very same thing here with Naomi. She arises. She leaves behind the country of Moab, the fields of Moab, and all there, not just in a material or physical sense, or even a geographical sense, but spiritually. She's leaving it behind and she's coming back. She's coming back. You see, the place where the backslider needs to be is among the people of God. Just not in a numerical sense, but as we've been pointing out, in fellowship with them too. Because the Lord has already worked on the people in Bethlehem, Judea, and as we've been highlighting, there's been a return because the famine is gone. So there's been a turning to the Lord. So where's Naomi? Can she come back to the Lord and still stay in Moab? Can she know the Lord and fellowship with the Lord and follow the Lord and yet live in Moab? She can't do it. She's going to have to leave Moab and she's going to have to come back into the fellowship of the people of God. That's how it always is. God's people are to be a people who bond together. That's one of the purposes why we're here this morning in the house of God. It is the command of the Lord that we bond together in fellowship and commune with one another, and together we commune in fellowship with the Lord. There is a bonding together. There might be times when, and it is the exception, where maybe a Christian is on their own and there isn't others to bond with and fellowship with. But I tell you this, that Christian longs for such fellowship. And when maybe you speak to people who are in some place, even in our own, maybe over in the mainland or whatever, and there's small in numbers or whatever, and there's very few to fellowship with, they miss the fellowship. They miss that bonding together that there ought to be and should be and is among the people of God. And they long for it, and they envy others that have it, because there is something within an individual who knows the Lord and has been brought into a right relationship with the Lord. They want the fellowship with other Christians. They want the fellowship of believers. And Naomi's going to rise up and leave and come back to the land of Israel. Back in among a people whose hearts have also been made right. And so it is when the Lord restores, truly restores a backslider. That backslider comes back in among the people of God. Because that's the pattern that the Lord lays down in His Word. We better hasten on. I want you to think about the moment here of Naomi's return. Because we read about the time when she arrives in Bethlehem. And we have mentioned some of those intervening verses there and her dialogue with her two daughters-in-law. Well, we want to come down here now to the time when she arrives. Verse 19, Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And I want to think a little bit in closing about that. Because if you go right down to the end of the chapter, verse 22, we're told when this was. It was at the beginning of the barley harvest. You see that right there at the end of verse 22, the end of the chapter. And again, verse as well highlights the fact that she's returned out of the country of Moab. But she comes to Bethlehem, Judah, and she does it in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now that time is significant. And just for a moment or two, I want to highlight a few things around the barley harvest time. First of all, it's a time of joy. The harvest time is a time of joy. We read about that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 3. You read there about, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increase the joy. Their joy before thee, they joy before thee according to the joy in harvest." So it is one of the highest occasions of joy among the Israelites at harvest time. There's other times mentioned there as well, for example, when they win battles and divide the spoil. But one of those occasions when the very highest joy can be experienced is harvest time. Well, generally that is true because of the fact that they are so grateful for a harvest. They're so dependent upon the early and the latter rain. We don't have any such dependence, although maybe there was a few who were looking for rain in the early part of July, but more often than not, we're not too worried about the rain coming. It's the opposite. But if you're out in the land of Israel, you're worried about the rain. You need the early rain, It softens up the ground, enables it to be ploughed so that the seed may be planted. You need the latter rain that comes to flush out and fill out the grains so that there's a good harvest yield. You need the early and the latter rain. And if one of those fail in the land of Israel, the harvest is going to fail. There's not going to be a good harvest if either the early or the latter rain fails. So when the harvest time comes, there's joy and gladness because the Lord has sent rain. There's been the early and the latter rain, and there's been a harvest, and therefore they are rejoicing. And over there in Isaiah 9 and 3, it highlights that this is one of the highest occasions of joy among the people of God. Well, is there not joy when a backslider returns to the Lord? Is there not joy when a wanderer returns? Somebody who has drifted away? Was there not joy even over Naomi's return? When the people looked on at her and saw her here arriving again in Bethlehem, and she does at barley harvest, and there's rejoicing among the people because of the harvest season. But is it not also a testimony to this? There's rejoicing when the wanderer returns. We're not going to turn over this morning because of time, but if you look up that chapter, Luke 15, where you have the lost son and the lost sheep and the lost sheep, the lost coin and the lost son, there's three aspects of joy there that are highlighted in verses 5, 6, and 7. Because you read first about the shepherd rejoicing, and then you read about the people rejoicing, the church rejoicing, and then you read about heaven rejoicing. There's three categories there of rejoicing in Luke 15 in those opening verses 5, 6, and 7. The three verses come after each other. The shepherd rejoices, the people rejoice, heaven rejoices. And so it is when a wanderer returns. The shepherd rejoices. The people of God rejoice. Heaven rejoices when a wanderer returns. It's the same when a soul is saved. Those three categories of rejoicing come into play as well. So whether it's the wanderer returns or the soul that is saved, it's the same. There is rejoicing. So Naomi is returning at a time of joy. The people are rejoicing because of harvest. But here's another harvest. Here's a spiritual harvest. Here's a wanderer who's returned, brought back into the fold. But this also means that it was around Passover time. The barley harvest began on the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was then that the sheaf of the first fruits were offered unto the Lord. And when that was done, then the people could begin to reap the barley harvest in their fields. So there was a time that they wouldn't start harvesting beforehand. Didn't matter how good the crop looked. Didn't matter what the yield looked like, and there was going to be a very good harvest. The weather really wouldn't come in much into play because, as I say, there wasn't a lot of rain there anyway. So the latter rain has already come. No one would start harvest time until the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because that was the day when they would go out into the field and they would cut down one sheaf and they would bring it in to the tabernacle. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 23. And they brought it into the tabernacle or the temple and they waved it before the Lord, an acknowledgement of the fact that the Lord has given a harvest. Nobody would begin harvest until then. So we know exactly when it was that Ruth and Naomi came back to Bethlehem, Judea. It tells us that it is in the beginning of the barley harvest. So they most likely came back to Israel in the week of the Passover. There was the Passover, then there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. But during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there was this waving of the sheaf of first fruits. And during that week, the harvest, the barley harvest, would commence. And we all know the significance of the Passover and its connection with Jesus Christ. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Everything about the Passover is representative of Christ. But is that not a telling point as well? Naomi comes back on Passover week, the beginnings of barley harvest. The second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is when the barley harvest began. What's the grounds of anybody's return to the Lord? Isn't it because of what Christ has done? How are the sins of backsliding dealt with and put away? It's by the atoning blood of the Lamb. And we've been singing there this morning about the Lamb and the blood that was shed, cleansing for me, cleansing for me. There's cleansing, even from the sins of backsliding and coldness of heart. And we are all tainted with that to some degree at times. We can all drift, some more openly than others, it's true. But we thank the Lord there's a way back through the blood of the Lamb. There's cleansing to be had. The Lord will put away. The Lord will put away our sin. And there can be a restoration. And even though Naomi comes back here and says, oh, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Call me Bitter. Well, that might have been the past. That might have been a reference to the years in Moab. But there's a new beginning now. There's a new beginning. And as we know, the rest of the book of Ruth takes us on through that new beginning. And how Naomi was so blessed coming back. We don't have time this morning, but if you read chapter 4 there, when the son was born to Boaz and to Ruth, there's reference made to Naomi and the blessing it was to her. Oh, when the Lord brings somebody back, there's a way of putting out, cancelling out the sins and forgiving the sins through the blood of the Lamb. There's a new beginning. There's a new beginning. There's blessings that come. And may we be where we ought to be today with the Lord. And if we need to confess sins of coldness or backsliding, well, may we confess them today and put them beneath the blood. It was a new start for Naomi. Maybe it's a new start for us too. May the Lord bless His Word. We better come to a close. May the Lord bless His Word.